All right, it's my honor to introduce you to Chaplain Crawford, and I refer to him as Chaplain Crawford because when he's in the green uniform, he is chaplain to me because of my military time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, folks, so very much. It is truly a delight to be with you today, to be able to open God's Word. And I'd like to share with you a few things today to maybe help encourage you as you think of and pray for military members and their families. And hopefully we can share a few things along that lines. In fact, if I can make a brief commercial for the encore to follow, the session to follow this, I have a slideshow I want to show you from a deployment, but I'm going to try to get through that quickly so we can move into questions and hopefully some answers as well, because that way I can find out what you're interested in knowing about, whether it's the chaplaincy and what's involved in that type of ministry. So we want you to plan toward that and be a part of the session to follow as well here this morning. And it is a delight to be back with you folks. I've never been to your facility here since you're here on Blair's Ridge, but downtown. I was at the Galilean Church a few times before. It's been a while now, but it is good to be back again and to see you folks and to be able to minister to you. And I want to encourage you in the warm welcome. I don't know if you get feedback a lot of times from visitors, but let me give you my feedback. You've done a terrific job of making me feel welcome this morning. I got here a little earlier than I had anticipated. I was, I think, maybe planning more like Iowa City as far as my travel time. But got here early and was welcomed right away, and you've done a tremendous job. I was very impressed as well with your worship team coming in early and rehearsing and being ready to lead us in worship. All very important. And just as an outsider, let me give you that feedback and encouragement, and you can share that with your pastor as well. As I appreciate Pastor Troy and contacted me, I think, back in October to set up this opportunity today. So he's I appreciate his willingness to let me have this chance to come and to talk with you today. Well, as we prepare to look into God's Word this morning, I'd like us just to pause and to go to the Lord in prayer, first of all. Father, thank you for this opportunity today to talk about freedom. And Lord, we are so blessed as a nation to enjoy freedoms, really freedoms unlike any place in this world. Freedoms that have been purchased at tremendous sacrifice. Freedoms that must be maintained with vigilance. But Father, as we think of freedom, our thoughts today really go beyond the national freedom and move on to the spiritual freedom that you have available for all of us through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank you for the honor it is to be able to share that message and to share the Lord Jesus with our military members and their families. And I pray that today our time together will help us all to minister more effectively, to minister with greater passion and compassion for those that give so much that we might be free. These things we thank you for, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe in your bulletin as well. You have an outline if you'd like to follow along and fill in as we go. You can chart our progress that way, and sometimes that's encouraging to know that we're making progress. So please follow along if you would like. Freedom is a word we love, isn't it? It's a concept we love as Americans. We love to be a free people. In fact, we have sacrificed, and many of our veterans are among us here in our group, and we know people serving today and families that make tremendous sacrifices that we might be free. And not only as a nation, but even around the world in different places, helping to establish safety and stability and promote freedom worldwide. We love the concept. We love the reality of freedom. Let me share just a few words with you here. In fact, there is a little quiz involved. I'll give you an opportunity to identify, if you can, who spoke these words. And I'll read quickly. It is in vain, sir, to extenuate the matter. Gentlemen may cry, peace, peace, but there is no peace. The war has actually begun. The next gale that sweeps from the north will bring to our ears the clash of resounding arms. Our brethren are already in the field. Why stand we here idle? What is it that gentlemen wish? What would they have? Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. Here's the quiz. Who's the speaker of these words? And I'll read the next sentence and I think you'll know. No, it's a good guess, but no, not Abraham Lincoln. It's not George Washington. No, it's not Thomas Jefferson. Let me give you the answer. You will probably get it after this sentence. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. Indeed, Patrick Henry was the gentleman that offered those words back early in our nation's history as we were getting organized as an independent country, because he sensed the importance of freedom. And it was a message that rang true, and people made tremendous sacrifices that we could be a free country. And likewise today, our service members make sacrifices. They deploy to places all around the world. And for long periods of time, they're separated from their families. They're exposed to hazards and danger and real enemies that seek to cause harm and to take their life and injure them. And yet they sacrifice and they do that we might be a free people. And I'm grateful to each of you who have served, to those of you who may be a family member of someone who served, because your sacrifices are very real and very important as well. And yet today, while we think of freedom, I want us to think of a freedom that goes, as we've mentioned, even beyond the national freedom that we all cherish. And that's a freedom that the Lord Jesus described in this passage of Scripture. And let's read this together, if you'll take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, I'll start my reading in verse 30. This is a summary verse of what's gone before, and I'll read down through verse 36. As he spoke these words, many believed in him. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." That's the freedom we want to think of today. The freedom that Jesus said that we can know when we come to know him. A freedom from sin. Now, we're not saying, and I don't believe Jesus was saying, that we reach a state of sinless perfection, but he was saying that we're no longer under the domain. We're no longer under the control of sin and that sin nature. But we are set free to live in obedience to God and to find the purpose and design for our life that God has for us. That's freedom. That's real freedom. And the reason I wanted to focus on these verses today, because there's a strange irony that's true. We have service members that sacrifice tremendously that we can be free. And they love and they prize and they sacrifice for freedom. And yet many of them do not know the freedom that Jesus has spoken of. They don't know what it is to be free from sin. And so today I want to look at that a little bit further and give you some specific areas where you can pray. You can pray for military members and for their families that they might find true freedom, the freedom that comes through forgiveness of our sins through Jesus Christ. And today as well, while I talk about the military families, let me make it clear, these are Jesus' words to us. Jesus is speaking to you today as well. If you have never made that decision to accept Jesus as your Savior, and you're depending on anything else, whether it's your church or your good deeds or your parents' background, whatever it may be, you're depending on anything else for freedom from sin, it doesn't work. Jesus said he is the one who provides that freedom. And so there's kind of a multiple of applications today in our message. We're talking about service members, but it also applies to each of us to know the freedom that Jesus has promised us here, the freedom that he says there in his word. Well, let's talk a little bit about specifically what we have in mind. And one type of a particular way you can pray for soldiers really, again, applies to us all. And it's what I call freedom from guilt. From guilt. Now, guilt, there's different kinds of guilt. And the first one that I talk about is true of all soldiers, and it's true of all of us as well. I've called it universal guilt because the scriptures say in Romans 3:23, what? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's a phrase that I guess we all can take personally because it includes us all. We have all sinned. Sinned in our thoughts, sinned in our actions, sinned in our attitude and our disposition. These are all ways that the scripture says that we sin and we fall short of the glory of God or God's glorious standard. And so we all have a need to know what it is to be forgiven from that type of guilt. And when I was a boy of 8 years, and it's getting to be a few years ago at this point, but when I was 8 years of age, I could sense that there was something not right in my heart, in my life. And what I came to find out was that what it was my sin that was separating me from a holy God. And my family had started attending a little Baptist church outside of Fairfield, Iowa. And in that little church, I started hearing the message of the gospel and that Jesus had come to pay the price for my sin, that he had died so that God could look at his sacrifice and his righteousness in my place. And as a boy of 8, I responded to an invitation one Sunday morning, and I came forward and the pastor prayed with me and I asked Jesus into my life. I accepted the forgiveness for my sin that he had provided. And I know it's not true of everyone, but for me, it was like I sensed a load being lifted off of my heart, off of my spirit. And I think what that load was, I didn't know it as an 8-year-old, but I think what that load was is what we're looking at right there. The universal guilt, the sense of guilt that was between me and a holy, perfect God. Now, thankfully, that's not a burden that any of us has to carry through eternity and stay separated from God because Jesus has died so that we can be free from that guilt, the guilt of our sin. And I accepted him as a boy and knew that freedom. Well, that's a freedom that many of our service members need to find. As we know, many of our neighbors need to find. And the people with whom we work or go to school have not accepted Jesus as their Savior. And they don't know freedom from universal guilt. But there's another aspect, and there's probably a better term, but this is a term that gets to the heart of the second concern. And that is that at times service members are called upon to take the life of others. They're called upon to kill. And it really is not something that soldiers take lightly. And many times as we come back from deployments, and I'm sorry, I should have mentioned I've deployed a couple of times with the military, once to Afghanistan, and I think before the encore hour, there'll be some pictures from that deployment that'll just kind of scroll through for you to see. And then in 2007, I went to Kosovo for a year, which was very different, and I'll show some pictures from that during the encore hour and talk about that a little bit at that time. But soldiers in those settings at times are called upon to kill, and they have to kill. And at times they'll make light of that. In fact, I remember one soldier talked with him and he said, you know, chaplain, when this was in the Gulf War he was referring to, he said, we often had to kill people and we'd make jokes about it, we'd make light about it. But when I came home, I started to think about it and it really started to bother me. And he said that he had a priest that he talked to. That was his faith, his background. And he said if he hadn't talked to his priest, he thinks that he would have lost his mind. Why is that? Well, it's because we're not wired psychologically to take the life of others without it affecting us in some way. And so our service members are required at times to do that, and it does affect them. And I've talked with them and prayed with them and helped them to understand that there is forgiveness, and there is a big difference. And I'll just mention it just briefly. There is a big difference between murder and killing under orders. There is a difference, I believe, between those. But still, psychologically and in our heart and in our spirit, we can't always distinguish that. And soldiers struggle with that when they have to take the life of others. And yet, in Jesus, I believe that there is freedom from all sin, our universal sin, but also from things that we're required to do that we struggle with that bother us. And that's an area in particular to pray for our servicemen and women. Another type is what we call survivor guilt. And survivor guilt can be a service member who maybe doesn't go overseas. Or maybe they go overseas and then they don't go out on missions where they come in contact with the enemy. Or maybe it may be that they do that regularly, but on one particular day they had their chance for leave or they were sick and they had to stay at the base and their team got hit. They had a roadside bomb or something that injured or killed others that were in the vehicle. And they think, that should have been me. I'm the one who should have, been in that situation. And we call it survivor guilt, and it's a very powerful form of guilt that some people deal with. Now, is it their fault? No, it's not their fault, but they still struggle with that in their heart and their spirit and say, why would I survive? When I was in Afghanistan, I had the opportunity to travel to many different locations to minister to our soldiers and the personnel that were at those sites. And I was at one particular one, and we were scheduled to come back to the main base on a Wednesday. And so there was regular resupply flights that would come through, and that was pretty much how we traveled in Afghanistan. And we were waiting for our flight, and there was a visitor that came out, actually a colonel from National Guard Bureau who was from the state of Iowa. And he came out and he wanted to visit the troops that were out at this little particular compound where we were ministering at that time. And so he came out and they sent a helicopter after he'd been there a day, specifically just to bring him back. Now, they never did that for me as a chaplain for some reason, but the colonel got that opportunity. And so the first sergeant said, well, chaplain, there's going to be this helicopter coming. Do you want to go back early? And we looked at the schedule and saw that if we went early, we could go on to another place, catch another flight and go on and minister again at another location. So we said, sure, we'll do that. So my chaplain assistant and I flew back with the colonel and made the connection and got to the other location and were ministering there. And then we got word that there had been a helicopter crash and that 18 personnel, military and civilian support workers, were killed on that crash. And I didn't really connect the dots until later. And I asked that first sergeant back at that site and verified the fact that that was supposed to be our flight. We were on that original manifest or original trip list for that flight that crashed after it had stopped down at that particular location. And so we thought about, well, why, God? My life, my family, my ministry is not any more important than anyone else's. Why would you spare my life in this situation? And as I wrestled with that, for me, it was Philippians 1 that helped bring some consolation and answer to my searching. Because in Philippians 1, the Apostle Paul said he realized that he was in a situation where death might be imminent for him as well. And he said, if I die, then I'll go to be with the Lord. And that's even better. But he felt that he was going to remain. In fact, that's the context he said those words, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. In other words, he was saying, if I live, it's all about Jesus and all about serving him. And that to me was very freeing to know that every day that God gives me to live is a day to serve him. And if that's my focus, it helps with things like survivor guilt. to know that God has a purpose and God has a plan, and that's what I need to plug into. Life is not about you. It is not about me. It is about God. It's about Jesus. And as we know Jesus, as we trust Him, it frees us from some of the difficult things that we struggle with in life. And for many soldiers, many military personnel, it's the aspect of survivor guilt. Well, that's a way that we can pray, and that's the way we see Jesus freeing us from that. But there are some other kinds of control that sin brings into our life as well. And one is the area of habits. You don't need to raise your hand, but does anyone here have any habits? If you want to take on a struggle, if you want to find something that's a challenge, you try to take on a habit and change that habit. But you know, I believe that Jesus does give us the power to change some of the things that put their chains around us and start to put us into bondage. Now, with our military members, and particularly those that deploy, there are some things that they struggle with. As you pray for them, you might pray this way. And as you know some, maybe that have deployed and come home, sometimes they struggle. One is language. I know Christian, good Christian soldiers, they say, "Chaplain, I don't know what it is, but I put this uniform on and I talk in a way, I use words that I never would at home and I never would in any other setting." And I don't know if that's really an excuse, and we have conversations about that. But the language is a real problem for many. And another is the area of pornography. Many get very addicted to pornography as well while they're deployed. And you'd say, well, how was that? Well, the internet reaches everywhere. In fact, many of the quarters, even little plywood sheds that are built for soldiers to stay in, will have commercial internet services that are available to the soldiers, because there's money to be made and there's people that are willing to make that money. And so many of them struggle with the bondage that pornography puts them in as well. And it affects their relationships. It affects their marriage and the relationships when they come home, as well as affects their mind and their heart. And so it's a powerful area. And there are so many that we could think of that they struggle with. And yet I can tell you that Jesus brings freedom and deliverance, even from some of those areas that have so much power in our life. And I could share stories, but time really doesn't permit me to go too far to say other than to say that Jesus brings freedom from the power of habits, from the power of selfishness. And that's a pretty powerful one right there, isn't it? It's kind of like the little kids. There was a little boy and his sister that were sitting on a rocking horse, and it really wasn't big enough for both of them. So the little boy thought about it, and he thought he was very diplomatic, and he said, "You know, if one of us would get off of the rocking horse, it would leave enough room for me." And that's kind of the way we look at things, isn't it? That if somebody's going to be on the rocking horse of life, it just as well be me. It just as well be us that's that person. And we all tend to be egocentric. We all tend to be centered on self. In fact, Romans chapter 6 talks quite a bit about that, about how we are slaves to sin unless we come to know Jesus. And then Jesus sets us free from that and makes us a slave to Him. Well, that doesn't sound like freedom, but it is freedom, because God designed us to live and to be, you know, free to operate in His boundaries and parameters. And that's really what the essence of freedom is, to live the way God made us to live. And we can do that when we come to know Jesus. It delivers us from the power of selfishness. And this is another one, as you think of our service members, He delivers us from the power of the past. Sometimes military members are exposed to situations and events that are very difficult for them to move past. One of the things we call a post-traumatic stress syndrome or stress disorder, when they come back and the past made such a powerful impression, it burned an experience and images so powerfully in their mind that other things will set that off, and they'll go back to that experience even though it may be months or years later. And it's very, very difficult for for them to live. It affects their relationships. It's a very, very powerful force. And I'm not saying that there's not a place for counseling and therapy and other things that can be used, but there's a tremendous place there for the healing power of Jesus to be working in somebody's heart and in their mind to help them to move beyond that past that can be so powerful, so strong in their life. And Jesus helps free us from the control of all of these areas. There's another area, though, too, I'd like to look at. And that is that Jesus frees us from the power of fear. Let's look at a couple of these passages in Hebrews. There'll be two in Hebrews I'd like you to see with me. I remember when we studied, when my church in Fort Dodge studied the book of Hebrews, these verses just stood out to me. And they'd always been there, but they just stood out in a new way. In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Which showed me why it was so important for the Son of God to come in a human body, to come as Jesus Christ, to come into our world and into our lives. And here's part of the answer. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. The writer of Hebrews is saying that there's a kind of bondage, and it's the fear of death. It's the fear of dying that controls us all, and it's very, very powerful. And he said that's why Jesus, one of the reasons why Jesus came, that he might die, and in his death defeat the one who had the power of fear and death. In Satan, to hold that power over us, so we can know freedom from that. Now, is that important for military members? Well, indeed it is, and especially when they're deployed and in settings where they don't know, but what they drive out the gate, that something might explode by their vehicle. They don't know, but somebody will have them in the sights of their scope, and so they live with that fear, with that at times paralyzing fear, and to know that they can be freed from maybe not the danger, but from the paralyzing effects of that fear can be very, very powerful, very liberating in their life as well. But I want us to see just a little further than that. In Hebrews chapter 9, it tells us about really why it is that we fear death so. And it kind of reminds me of the account. This is a different church tradition, but of a church tradition where they were having special meetings, and at the conclusion of the meetings, they were having people come forward for healing. Okay, and this fellow came and he waited in line and he got up to the speaker, and the speaker said, "Well, what's your problem?" And he said, "It's my hearing." And so the speaker right away laid his hands on him and prayed that God would restore his hearing, and got done with his prayer and said, "Okay, how's your hearing now?" He said, "Well, I don't know. My hearing's not till Wednesday." And he understood something that we all need to understand, that we all have a hearing problem. And the problem is that we have a hearing that we're going to face. And in Hebrews 9:27, it tells us, "As it is appointed for men to die once, but after this is the judgment." We all have a hearing. We'll face God, the Almighty Judge, who knows all. There's no loopholes that we can get out of what we've done with Him. He knows all and judges according to His infinite holiness and perfection. And that could be a pretty frightening prospect, and that's why we fear death. We fear facing that God and standing before Him. But again, as we see the message of the New Testament and of the Scriptures as a whole, that's why Jesus came. That's what Jesus frees us from, to know that we can face God, the Judge, as our Father. Does that make a difference? If you have to go stand before a judge to know that the judge is your dad, well, maybe in some cases that might make him a little tougher on you, but to know that we face God as our Father, who has forgiven us through Jesus Christ, it makes all the difference of the power of fear. in our life. Well, you know, as we said before, freedom is never free. And one of my favorite songs is actually from a poem that's entitled exactly that. And I won't try to sing it, but I would like to share with you the words of this song. Freedom is never free. Standing on a hillside where the river meets the sea, white crosses without number line the fields of peace. And each one a silent witness staring back at me. And every cross a story of another place in time, where young men thought it worthy to give their life for mine, and for the sake of honor left their dreams behind. And for the price they paid, I'm forever in their debt. Their memory will not die because I will not forget. I will stand and hold my head up high. I will dedicate my life to the glory of the ones who had to die. I will live and live what I believe, if for no one else but me to remember that freedom's never free. But you know, the song goes on as well to remind us it was on another hillside, outside the city gates, that battle lines were drawn as soldiers took their place. The father watched in silence as a cross was raised. With freedom drawing closer, he took his final breath. He drank our cup of guilt and took the sting from death. Heaven's finest soldier clothed in human flesh. And for the price he paid, I'm forever in his debt. His memory will not die because I will not forget. I will stand and hold my head up high. I will dedicate my life to the glory of the one who had to die. I will live and live what I believe, if for no one else but me to remember, freedom's never free. Thank God that Jesus died, that you and I can be free. We have the freedom available. It's provided if we just accept it, if we just trust Him. And not only is that freedom available for you today, and I would so encourage you to make that decision today. In fact, we'll just talk about our decision to make here. That would be the first one, the place to start. It's trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior today. But I trust that from some of the things I've shared, you can pray more effectively for military members and their families to come to find that forgiveness. It answers some specific needs that they have in their lives, that they could come to know Jesus as their Savior and find His forgiveness. But then we see that God has given us all a mission, and that mission is to proclaim that message of freedom with others. And in a land that believes in freedom and prizes freedom, that people would come to know the Lord of freedom, the one who says, if we know the Son, we are free indeed. And may God use this to impress upon us all how we can respond to His word today. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you today that in you we can say we are free. And we know sin has consequences. We understand how complicated life can be. But we thank you today to be able to know that it's simple in the sense that it's all about Jesus. It's all about what He did for us, all about what He wants to do in us, in our lives. And my prayer today, Lord, is for someone, some dear church member here today, or even a visitor or friend that's come, that they would know what it is to be free. Whatever that burden that they may be carrying in their life today, maybe something they feel like there's no hope, there's no chance of a difference, that they would find that difference today in the Lord Jesus. And then together, Lord, we could pray for our service men and women, and that we might see your forgiveness springing up ever new in the lives of those that serve us, that they would find and trust Jesus as well. And we'll thank you for the honor it is to be able to serve. Thank you again for this time, for these people that are committed to freedom. We pray in Jesus' name.